Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in the study of Nahum chapter 3, we taught that these verses have turned from what has made God angry to what he is going to do about it. Let's end the week with those thoughts today. My friend, I don't know. These are things that have affected you today that we've been talking about here over these last few days here on Nahum chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. But if they do, instead of getting angry at me or angry at God, get right with God. And seek to bring others to righteousness. Now, you see, here in verse 4, we found out what makes God angry. But in verse 5, now we're seeing what God's going to do about it. We saw the act of actual physical adultery and spiritual adultery. And God judges both severely. And the Lord judges this as he promised, as we mentioned earlier, back here, days ago in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. This is true spiritually. It's true morally. It's important to learn what God says let's just say it this way, that God says what he means, and he means what he says. And you're sitting here in these two verses, and here it seems like we're starting to change gears to not only just see that, okay, this is what made God mad, now this is what God's going to do about it. But we better pay attention to that. Pay attention. Proverbs 29:1, the Bible says, he that been often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That is true. Revelation 20:14-15, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In Luke 13:3, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then, same chapter, just two verses later, verse 5, he says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He just repeated the same words as he was preaching. Now, it may seem far away, and there is a time, but remember, at a time when you think not, the Son of Man cometh, or he moves in swift judgment. Don't be so foolish as to take a chance with your eternity. Remember the Lord telling the prophet, although Job, Noah, and Daniel, they preach, they stand, they do righteousness, it only saved them, but not the country, because the country has turned its back on God. But yet God was willing to save righteous men in the midst of his judgment against an unrighteous nation. Now, look at the focus here on Nineveh. Let's read verse 5 again, just to kind of get it back in our mind. The Lord says, behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness, and the kingdoms thy shame. Wow. You know, that's hard. But they're without excuse, as will all be who appear at the white throne judgment of God, where all unsaved are judged, and as Christians who are saved by fire at the judgment seat of Christ. We're all saved to judge. Nineveh had the distant past testimony of Jonah and the repentance that kept it from destruction, which God had planned to do in 40 days if they did not repent. More recently, 185,000 soldiers of the Assyrian army were slain in one night when they thought they would attack God's chosen people under righteous King Hezekiah. This nation had sunk morally and violently to pre-flood levels. Its prosperity made them blasphemers of God, thinking they had done it instead of God allowing the kingdom they had, that is. They had repented under Jonah, but now they repent of their repentance. But at one time, this nation had turned to God. There has never been a Christian nation in the true sense of the biblical definition of Christian Christ-like, which not only includes Christ-like, but holy. But when a nation is governed by what's referred to as the Judeo-Christian ethic, and it upholds morals and ethics, honor and respect for God, with a system of punishment for those who break those laws, then God will honor that nation, as we have seen in God's Word. And by the way, I know there are cities trying now to change the term Thanksgiving. You know, they want the days off, but they don't want to say Thanksgiving because it's recognizing God gave the blessings. They don't want to say Christmas. They want to say holidays. Don't go along with that. Don't go along with it at all. And by the way, I know Christmas is over, but anytime somebody says to you, happy holidays, you say, well, look, Merry Christmas. We love Jesus. And look, it's a witness to them. All nations that forget God and turn from these things shall be turned into hell. Psalms 9, verse 17 promises. Look, abortion, that is cold-blooded murder of babies, in my opinion. Homosexual marriage, the filth of a system that outlaws God from the public fanfare, is still in grave danger of the judgment of God, regardless of seeming prosperity or power. Now, I've mentioned things of the distant past, prayer and Bible in school, no Hollywood cussing and nudity on our TV, marriages staying together. But that past is distant and mostly gone. I see not only the future of my grandchildren and great-grandchildren, but the future of this country shrinking and closing. Although for the present, they seem to be doing all right. But I believe judgment is coming if there's no repentance, if there's no revival. And so I ask a question that was asked in the Bible times. Is anything too hard for God? Then fear God. Fear God. The religion of Nineveh was very seductive to the flesh. They lost all reverence for an holy God. People no longer wanted a religion that restricted their animal instincts. Their religion had become the high priest Joshua, and had so become a part of them. The high priest Joshua in Zechariah was standing before God in filthy garments, and God was not honored by that, and he had to be cleansed. You see, the inner man had to be cleansed before we can do ministry. The inner man needs to be cleansed and committed totally to God's will, God's way, surrendering my will to his will. And so, your inner man must be cleansed. God may well have called a young man to ministry, but they were duped into believing the fleshly appeal is necessary to please God for man, only to be reached by base appeal to the carnal natures of men, the debauchery that is not of God, and their ministries have become a reproach of the God they claim to serve. In Jeremiah 17, verse 5, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and his heart departeth from the Lord." And that speaks of men of God, men of preachers, who are now turning to the arm of flesh, be it entertainment or intellectual philosophies, such as the false doctrine of Calvinism, that takes people away from the truth of the Word of God. There must be a coming clean and reverence for God's house and person, which is a must for a true Holy Ghost-sent revival in order to stay the judgment hand of God. If not, then read the list of sins in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, which includes adultery, homosexuality, disobedient to parents, and a host of other sins that will call for God's judgment. If there's not a revival and repentance in the local churches over these things, with their immodest dress in God's house, their sensual, flesh-exciting music, and the rebellion against His holiness, then expect God to give us up to destruction. He is tired of God's people holding the truth in unrighteousness and a total lack of reverence for His holiness and His name. You think that it's all right? Do you really think that it's all right to be casual and entertaining in your music, not so biblical and doctrinal in your preaching? It's all right to do that and not please God? You think it's pleasing to God when He said, "Preach the word"? In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You know, God tells us how to preach. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And He tells us what to preach. Doctrine. Well, that doesn't work today. You know, it doesn't work to build numbers. It works to build souls. The world builds numbers. Ours is to build souls. Not everyone got saved that heard Jesus, matter of fact. At the end, they had all forsaken Him and left.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the Sermon Library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on His firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will